Okay, I'm going to try and describe what I can see. So I'm looking around from left to right, and I've got a view of the sea, pretty much 180 degrees. And I'm looking out, and I can see Clacton to my left, some traces of Kent opposite me, and then going around to Brightlingsea. You're probably thinking, where on earth is he? Where am I? Well, I'm in Jaywick in Tendring, North Essex area. And I'm at the top of the Jaywick Martello Tower, which is a really fascinating historic place, of which I know currently not a great deal, but that's fine, I'm in good hands. I've got Cerith, and Cerith's going to kindly explain a lot more about the Jaywick Martello Tower, the whole history, and what happens now. So, Cerith, first of all, should we just clarify, what is your position, your role here?
Yes, I'm the tower manager, and it's my role to manage the building, its programs, events, and everything that surrounds it. And I work very closely with the Friends of the Tower in order to carry out all of its program.
Okay, we'll probably come back to in a short while about what the current uses of the tower, but it's mainly kind of art space at the moment and a community facility.
Yes, that's very much. We describe ourselves as a community arts and heritage venue. We work with the community to produce many arts exhibitions. We have a temporary art space, and we also have a heritage section as well on the history of the building.
Okay, which is what really kind of fascinates me. So if we go back right to the start, so the whole history of the Martello Tower, I knew very little. I've been Googling a bit online. It's got a really proud history going back a long way. So what are the origins? When was it first built? What was it used for, please?
They started building it in 1809, and they built a whole series of Martello towers along the east coast of England. They'd already built some on the south coast, but decided, because they wanted to defend themselves against Napoleon, that this east coast was at risk because it's very flat, so it's easy for ships to land. So they built 29 towers. Now, Jaywick Martello Tower was quite unique. It was the last one to be have the cannons on, and that wasn't till 1813 because the tower actually started to lean. It was built on marshland, so they had to pump the water out, and so the whole building subsided 4 feet, and it's not moved since, and there's not a single crack in it to show that it subsided. So it was used throughout the Napoleonic War. The trouble is by the time they finished building the tower, the Battle of Trafalgar had happened, and so it was no longer needed. So a cannon was never used in battle.
That's quite nice. I think it's certainly very peaceful sitting here in the viewing tower. And I'm a kind of peaceful liberal man, and it's nice to know that this wasn't really any bloodshed that took place. So after it had been constructed and then didn't serve its original purpose, what then has been the next stage in the history, please, of the tower?
Well, what the army used to do is they used to hire army pensioners to come and live in the towers with their family, and they would keep an eye on it. And then in 1906, the tower was sold, and it had various uses over the years as cafes, a gentlemen's club. In World War One and Two, it was both commandeered by the army again as picket station. Then eventually the caravan site moved to the area, and they owned the tower and had caravans all around it. And then in 2002 they sold it to Essex County Council, where they renovated it and opened it in 2005 as an arts venue.
And structurally, it's sound. I think it's wonderful walking in, and you can just take a deep breath in, and there's this tremendous sense of history that kind of washes over you. But it's a mixture of the old and the new. So the place we're in now, if I can try and describe it. So yes, it is some sort of viewing tower. We've got glass panels, and even today on, which is quite isn't the most sunniest of coastal days, but we can really see across. We mentioned to Kent, Brightlingsea, into Clacton. So was there much renovation that was needed when the council got hold of it?
There was a fair amount. The viewing area which you're talking about, this was built onto the tower, sort of while in the 3 years it's renovated. You'll see on the second floor that there is a little bit of original wood flooring left, but most of it has had to be replaced. As well, a set of stairs was put in, leading you to the ground floor. Now, the ground floor entrance was actually not put in during its recent renovation. That was put in the 1960s. The original entrance was on the second floor. So a lot of it was about cleaning the brickwork, because obviously over the unused years, children had got in and decorated the walls for us. So we had to clean it and take it as much back to its original condition as possible.
And I've seen on the layer just below us, Kerith, coming up, the floor there, it was a mixture of the old and the new. So there was some old stone there, there was some old wood, some modern floors. What's the story there, or why was some of that floor wood, why was some of it stone? Is that got any historical reason?
Yeah, that is. The reason why a section of it is stone actually goes to when you're on the first floor and you look up. It's more to do with the fact that obviously the flooring is also a ceiling for the next step down. And in that area that was stone is a second room, and that was called the magazine, and that's where the gunpowder and cannonballs were stored. So if there had been an explosion accidentally, then it would have hit the stone and been contained rather than hitting wood flooring and burning the tower down.
Right, very, very good thinking. I think very good planning, if you sort of think now as to how old this tower is. And I don't know, if we were to build something similar right now, would it still be standing in 200 years' time? This is, structurally, it's very, very sound. So when the council got hold of the building here, was there ever any doubt as to what kind of use it could have, or how did it then become this community-based facility that it is?
Yeah, the initial idea was to open it as a digital arts venue, which is what happened, and it was successful, but the tower developed a life of its own. The community came on board and helped develop the tower, and that's when the heritage side was brought in to work alongside with the arts. And also we started doing a lot more community exhibitions. So we have the both sides. We have the sides where we have international artists come down, like Gavin Turk, Fabian Rigobert, Dan Dubovitz, and they come and put on these big exhibitions for us. And then the following week, we'll have the community come in and they'll put on what they want to see as well. So we work very much in conjunction together, putting on lots of different types of exhibitions, so everybody's involved and everybody gets to see what they want to see.
Which I think really is a story that's just worth celebrating for J-Week, because J-Week has been in the news the past few months in terms of poverty and deprivation. But then to have this kind of beacon here in the community, I think it's really quite encouraging to see that it's this mixture of, yes, some high-profile artists coming in, but also locals as well. So it's a feeling pretty much in the area that local people in J-Week do support the tower and they're quite involved.
Very much. We do have a lot of creative people in the area. We have painters, writers, photographers, and they all come and use the tower. And then it's the community spirit that holds it together. And then the people who don't want to be creative come and use the space to come and listen to our talks, if they're into history. And so we have a lot of, and we also try and involve the children and put on workshops for children, so we all work together.
So is there anything that's worth plugging, any future events coming up? I did see, isn't there some exhibitions starting in the summer coming up?
Yes, there is. Our current exhibition is Tattered Outlaws of History. Now, the two artists that have developed that exhibition, the current exhibition is about 12 of the Irish Martella Towers. They are currently finishing off a project on the East Coast Martella Towers, and that will be brought in on the 11th of June and will be up until the 21st of August. When that exhibition finishes, we've got our Coastal Open exhibition, which is very popular. It's our annual open exhibition for local artists to come and submit work, and we have that up in the tower for 2 months.
And there's also quite a big education angle here as well, so you have local schools coming in, Kerith, and learning up probably. I imagine it's ideal to sort of theme workshops and discussions about the whole history and also bring in an art element.
Definitely.
As well.
It's good you said that, because we've just finished our education pack, which gets released to the teachers next month. So we do have the local schools come down to us anyway, but the education pack will be there to help support the teacher teaching in the classroom when they come to have their visits, and we are free for school visits.
Okay, which is really good to hear. I've only been here the past sort of 10-15 minutes or so, and I've really fallen in love with the place instantly. What is it like to, you know, work here and spend most of your working time here? Because once again, this view, if I can just try and describe it, I can see the wind farm out towards Clacton area, and the sea just stretches further and further back. There's a caravan park, and this is a really, really gloomy day, but I imagine if you come here in the main in the summer months, it must be quite an inspiring workspace.
Yes, it certainly is. Every day is different. Every day I get a different view. Every day I notice something different out there. It is amazing. Even sometimes on the stormiest of days, it's still very beautiful. And when you get the red sky sometimes at night, it is very inspiring working here, and very unique as well. And it brings its own little quirks.
Mm. And so also definitely worth visiting. So maybe if we can try and conclude and say, when can people come along? When's a good time? Opening hours?
Yeah. We are open from the beginning of April to the end of September, Wednesday to Sunday, from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. And that also includes bank holiday Mondays. Then in March and October, we are open every weekend from 10:30 to 3:30. We are free for people under 16. Adults, there is a voluntary admission of £1 through an honesty box system, and our workshops are free.
And online, so we can find out a lot more online. I think what is also wonderful, really, really historic place. You're really quite up to date with lots of new media and using Facebook, Twitter.
Yes, we use Facebook, Twitter, and we've got our own website as well that we can easily update. So we do try and keep the whole community up to date with the activities going on here.
So a good starting place would be to Google the J. Vic Martello Tower, and from there you'll find links to Facebook, to Twitter, and see what's going on. Well, I'm going to disappear, Kerith. It's been very, very kind. I'm going to take some photos. I think I could spend the afternoon here. There's so many little intimate holes and sort of spaces to explore, a mixture of the old and the new, so I'll hopefully try and share those as well. This is quite fascinating. So thank you for your time. That has been wonderful. So it's the J. Vic Martello Tower. You know, do come along, find some time. So maybe this bank holiday Monday will be open?
Yes, we will be. We are open from 10 till 5.
Right, come along. Thank you.
Thank you.